Welcome to the Music Biz Podcast presented by Hypebot.com. I'm your host, Alex May, and today on the show, we've got Steve Rennie. Steve Rennie's been the artist manager for Incubus, a concert promoter, record executive, and most recently, the founder of Renman U, an online course that teaches you about the ins and outs of the music business. We hope you enjoy the show today, and don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud, and leave us a rating if you've enjoyed the show. So without any further ado, we're going to bring Steve Rennie on the show. He's going to tell us a bit more about his program, Renman U, and all the experience that he's had in the music industry. And we're looking forward to having an overall intelligent conversation with him about all the changes that we're seeing here in the future. So welcome to the show today, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hopefully we can have that intelligent conversation.
For sure. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So first off, I guess, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, just for those who aren't familiar with you?
Okay. I'm a music professional for the last 35 plus years. I'm kind of losing count. I've worked as first as a concert promoter with what became part of Live Nation, a company called Avalon Attractions. And then I did a stint as a, my first stint as an artist manager, followed by 4 years at Sony Music as the Senior VP, General Manager of the West Coast operation out here in Los Angeles. I was involved with one of the early internet music startups, a company called Artist Direct, and we took the company public, and ultimately it didn't work out, and for any number of reasons. And then I, while I was working at Sony Music, I met a young band called Incubus, who, when I left Epic Records to join Artist Direct, Mike Einziger, the guitar player in the band, asked me to be their manager, and I said yes, and at the time had a partner. Subsequently, the partner left. I left Artist Direct and managed Incubus full-time for almost 16-ish years, kind of loose stuck in there somewhere, and for the last 3 years, kind of first, you know, on the side, and now with, you know, a lot more dedication and enthusiasm, I launched this online music mentoring platform called RenmanMusicInBusiness.com to help young artists and music professionals, not just young artists, you know, people get upset for some of the folks that aren't there, artists and aspiring artists and music professionals navigate their way around today's music business. And we do it. You know, we now have an online course, which hopefully we can talk about. But previous to that, posted a bunch of videos, and I had a web show called Renman Live. I started about, you know, a few months after we started the whole website. And we've done now, I think, closing in on 125-ish Renman Live shows. And it's an interview program with some of the smartest, most talented, most successful folks in the music business. And I think what makes it different than a lot of the shows is that we invite folks out there to participate by posting questions in advance or posting them in the chat room during a broadcast, or for the really bold ones, calling in on the phone and talking to some of these, you know, successful folks. So that's the short story.
Yeah, quite a good one there, though. Yeah, the Renman Live, that's an awesome show. If you guys haven't checked that out, definitely give that a quick viewing. There's, like you said, there's several episodes, and it really covers a lot from everything from the artist side, producers, engineers, just music professionals all across the board, and really good conversation.
And lots of artists in there as well, some top artists that, you know, as well. So we cover the whole spectrum. If you're interested in the music business and you're serious about it and you haven't watched our show, I'm going to just say you're not trying hard enough.
I would agree. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, especially just the overall nature of it, I think, especially with any kind of music talk about the business. I mean, there's more than enough opportunity to get more of a kind of a dry, just, you know, by the books conversation. And I think your show in particular, I mean, you yourself, you're very obviously enthusiastic about the whole music business, and it really carries through. And that definitely transfers through to the viewers, to the artists, to everyone they're talking with on the show. So it's a really fun watch for sure.
Well, I appreciate it. I thought you were being, that was your nice way of saying I swear a lot.
Oh, no. Just add some color to it.
I'm always on my best behavior on other people's shows. So anyway, but I'm happy that you look at it that way, because the idea of it was to make it. I've been having that conversation, these Renman Live conversations for years, for 30 plus years, that have somebody sitting on a couch or sitting in a restaurant talking about the music business. And through the glory of the web, you can do it now and invite people in from around the world. And we have a lot of fun doing it. And it's nice to hear your comments.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got exposed to it. I've been a big Incubus fan for a while now, and your name popped up somewhere along the board there. And I saw that you had a web show a little while ago too, and thought, oh, okay, this would be interesting to kind of get into, and started checking it out and really got into it. So
good. Good. Well, we've had all the Incubus guys on there.
Yes. Yeah.
The Incubus team has worked their way through it. Not so much anymore, obviously, because I don't work with the guys anymore. But it's been fun.
Yes. Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, though, one of the main reasons we've gotten you on the show today is just to talk about your new online course, Renman U, which given me kind of a run through for that. I've been going through the course, not completely finished through it yet, but I think I'm about 20% or so. But yeah, it's just a lot of...
Alex, I'm going to test you. I'm going to go to the... I won't do it while we're on, but I'll check the back end and see how, just exactly how far along you
all
are.
Right.
How you're doing on all those quizzes.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I mean, if you wouldn't mind, you just started Renman U, like you said, an online guide to the music business. Can you just tell us a little bit about how that got started and what inspired you to share the information with others?
Yeah, when we started the website, the idea was to try to help people learn about the music business. And the way we did it was, when people are trying to learn anything, whether it's the music business, whether it's cooking, golf, whatever your passion is, I learned very early in my career that there are all kinds of people that have opinions about whatever it is you might do. And I learned a long time ago to listen to the doers and the people that were actually doing it and succeeding at it. So that was the idea of the show. And so inviting some of my friends in the business to talk about their successes and stories of how they got started and all that was, I think, a learning experience for everybody, right? But I think what I found after a while is that some people, could benefit from a more structured, I hate to say it, but a bit more of an academic approach to things, right? And so, something a little bit more explicit than us having a conversation and me going, oh, folks, if you want to learn something, take note of that. So, but what inspired me to do it was, I've spoken at universities over the years, God knows how many times, and it was always fun having that conversation with people. So there was a little bit of that part of me that thought, well, when kids are taking classes at colleges, and I don't want to pick on the colleges, but having spoke there enough times, it tends to be lacking on what I'll call a real world approach to it. The music business isn't learning what a PRO is. Okay. That doesn't teach you anything. So, trying to give a real world perspective about things and why, for example, PRO, why is a PRO important for you folks that don't know? It's a performing rights organization, but that's not important really. What's important is those are one of the folks that help you get the money if you're lucky enough to write a great song. And so if you're looking to do the music business professionally as opposed to a hobby, getting paid is an important part of that. So anyway, that was kind of the underbelly, but I actually was invited up to go and do an all-day online, I won't say lecture, but lessons at a website called creativelive.com. And if you folks haven't checked it out, it's a wonderful site with all kinds of different online experts talking about a subject. And mine was, I was one of the first guys in the music business that they asked to do it. So I did it up there, and there was a little bit of a live audience, and it forced me to actually, and that day that the topic was just about, I think it was about networking in the music business, but it was like 8 hours, and probably a good 5.5, 6 of that actually speaking. So it forced me to really start thinking about ideas that have been floating around in my head and putting them down in a much more structured way. So that was like the first bit of inspiration. And then I think one of the things that really kind of put me over the hump on it was I'd hired a young intern who had come from the USC Thornton School of Music over at USC. And he was a former USC football player. And I hired him as an intern. And he was the one that said, hey, you know, Ren, you know, you should turn this into a course. And so I asked him to start giving me some of his materials that he still had from his days. And so the course started to develop. And I started taking all these thoughts and experiences and stories and so forth that had been stored in my head and started writing them down and started thinking about, you know, how I might present that. And so when we go through the course, to give you an overview of the course, I say with confidence that it covers all the key areas of the music business that you need to know to get started, right? I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know every single nuance of a contract, but I know there's probably 10 things in there you have to get right. And the lawyer goes and gets all the little stuff and shows you what a hero they are, but there's important things in there, right? Same is true with publishing. You know, the touring business is less academic because it's a feel thing. It's something you learn by doing. So we talk about touring. And all of it, all of those lessons are through the eyes of a music business insider, somebody who's actually done it, who took the lesson on the board and then lived it in the real world. And I think that's what makes our course decidedly different than anything I've seen out there. And then one other key element of our course, that's the first module of the course, is called the big picture. Mm-hmm. And I think if you talk to a lot of people in the music business, successful people, and if you want some proof, go watch some of those Ren Man Live stories there, you know. What you find is that there are thousands and perhaps millions of talented people out there, music professionals and artists, right? But only a very small, precious few get to that level of where it actually looks like a career for them, right? And what you find is that what separates great talent from great success is attitude, it's headspace, it's understanding and seeing the business for what it really is. And what I mean by that is oftentimes the music business doesn't make sense. So people that come at it from an academic approach or technology people that are used to things working if you line everything upright, they have a difficult time processing the music business. And it can be debilitating in a lot of ways, and it can cause a lot of people to give up on it. So getting the right attitude, seeing the big picture of the music business for what it is, to me, is one of the most important things. I'd rate attitude over talent it more important, you know, because there's lots of talented people out there, you know, but it takes a certain headspace to get there. So we start the course off with that. And when I've spoken at universities and stuff, when I talk about the difference between an academic versus kind of an insider's, you know, point of view, nobody talks about getting your head on straight. And yet it's such an important piece of success in this business, because if you have talent and you have drive and you have ambition and you have a willingness to work, those are things that add up, that all those things after the talent are the things that ultimately can lead to success. But you got to have great talent to start with. But talent without a great attitude will fail, and I know it from personal experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting that you bring that up. I mean, like you said, the whole first module is dedicated to that attitude. And it's got a lot of great things in there that I think, again, like you said, isn't really taught, especially if you go to, you know, like a music school or if you're in the music business. I mean, it's the music business itself isn't one of those things where it's just like, okay, I'm studying medicine, I'm going to eventually become a medical intern and then a doctor. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, it seems like there's not really a clear linear path, and it's almost like this very fluid thing that changes on a daily basis. I mean, a decade ago, I think the majority of people wouldn't have guessed that we would have this thing called streaming music, and you know, all these other changes that just suddenly happen, and you got to kind of roll with the punches almost and see what the best way is to make out of these. But
yeah,
with that whole the big picture module, I mean, just going through that, I mean, there were a lot of really good points made for that, having a clear, concise target where you're going to really narrow down your obstacles and kind of see where you need to go, being honest with yourself and seeing what you need to achieve in order to get to where you want to be. putting together a good team, both on the music side and on the business side. And just, I think the last point you made on that module was just making it personal and connecting with your audience that way.
Yeah, well, you're an Incubus fan. And when I talk about real world and kind of conceptual and real world, you know, that idea of making it personal, it's not something that's specific to the music business. In many quarters, it would be called good manners, right? But when you make a personal connection in a business, you know, the restaurateur who comes out and hands a little birthday cake to, you know, his favorite client's kid, you know, the artist that shakes the hand and looks him in the eye and says, hey, thanks for coming out to the show tonight. Those acts of personal connection are hugely important, and particularly true in the music business, I think, you know, and so ideas like that don't get talked about in a classroom type setup. Things like get the money, right? Everybody thinks it's just a slogan. People that have known me for years have heard these kind of slogans. Like, oh, he's just kind of a funny guy. And then later on, they'll call me up and go, God damn, man, I get it. Get the money, you know, you've got to go. And if you're lucky enough to write a great song, and you're lucky enough to be a great performer, and you wind up blowing all the money because you hired the wrong manager, or you decided to spend it all on big sound and lights and forget that people are really there for the songs. And if you turned off all the lights, okay, and it was just you with one light and a great song, does anybody think that Adele wouldn't be unbelievable with a piano, a microphone, and a candle, right? You know, and so people, you know, will get lost and they lose track of things like get the money, you know, get take care of business, you know, make it personal. Ideas like the best idea is your idea. People that have worked with me for years have heard that a million times, and then at some point they'll come and go, God, I get it, Steve. I wanted it to be my idea. I wanted everybody to know what a smart person I was, and you got an ego the size of Texas, but I've watched you with band guys, and they come back and say exactly what you told them 2 weeks ago, and you never tell them, I told you so. You go, nice idea, love that. And you just walk away. And I said, because it only matters, they'll do something about it if it's their idea. And by the way, I used to want to have every idea be my idea. But as you get a little bit older and a little bit wiser and a little bit more experienced, you realize the right idea at the right time is everything, and it doesn't really matter whose idea it is. But if it means making it somebody else's idea to make it happen, then that's what you do.
Yeah, again, I mean, it boils down to attitude. If you have this end goal of putting out a record, I mean, it's important to sometimes take a step back and see that your needs aren't always needing to be at the forefront of any, you know, band decision, as long as it gets done and kind of serves a greater creative purpose. That's important to kind of stick with that goal.
Yeah, well, everybody wants to do something and make an impact in their world. But the fact is, as you noted, you know, band has professionals around them. A football team has made up of a bunch of different players. And everybody has to take pride in what their piece of that game is. And some people get to be the folks throwing it down in the end zone, and some people get to be the invisible folks that grind away and make it happen. And so you got to figure that out. And making people feel good about winning is important. And if you do win and somebody else took your idea, but that was my idea, but they made it their idea and you win, you still win. That's the key item. People, hey, we need to win here. Whose idea was is unimportant. We all get the Super Bowl ring. Right. Tom Brady doesn't get a bigger one.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to remember that, A, you're in the music business for, you know, the purpose that's ultimately going to be greater than yourself, and B, to get there, you've got to work around other creative people that are always going to have different creative thought processes that sometimes are going to be better or worse than yours, and you just got to kind of go with it and figure out what the best one ultimately is for that particular situation.
Yeah, I think it's true in any business. I think what makes it tricky in a creative business is that there is not necessarily a right or wrong answer. You know, you talked really about doctors and lawyers and jobs where it's much easier to quantify a certain skill set, right? I'm often amazed that how many schools now out there have a master's program in the music business, right? So some kids spend 4 years studying the music business, studying it. And then you'll spend another 2 years to get a master's degree, right? And I can't help but think, what a freaking waste of time that is, right? So, because what degree would you give Dr. Dre? What degree would you give me? What degree would you give Jimmy Iovine, or pick your player in the business? And you know, so getting out there and doing something is how you succeed in the music business. And your degree will ultimately be attached to your success in the business. It won't be the cause of your success, I can guarantee that.
And really, I think that's where a lot of the value from the Renman U course comes from. It's because you've actually had real life experiences for, you know, over 30 years. You've got firsthand experience on all this. And I mean, it's coming from somebody who went to school for, you know, like audio engineering and things like that. It's great to learn the rules and learn kind of the lay of the land and just the basis for everything. But what it ultimately comes down to, I think everybody will ultimately find, is that the real world experience is always going to be better than whatever you can learn in a book, because especially in the music business, I mean, things are so fluid that there's not always going to be book knowledge that's readily applicable towards a certain scenario.
Yeah, I think when you talk about audio engineering, that's an interesting one, because there is some technical skill set there that can be measured. You know, you got dials and things, and it's mechanical, so it works, right?
Right.
But the artist that's standing in front of you at that booth, okay, is not mechanical. It's not programmed, okay? There's not a dial for turn down that asshole in that guy or turn up that great. There is no dials, right? And so what you learn is you learn a skill, but if you want to succeed in the music business, it's about a ton of it is about people and your ability to manage people and inspire them and corral them at times, right? And that kind of stuff is learned on the job. And I haven't met an audio engineer yet, no matter how talented they are, that didn't figure out getting the gig is the most important thing, and that nobody asked to see your full sale degree. Mm-hmm. You show up, you become important, you become valuable to somebody, typically by starting in the gopher role and working your way up till you build credibility and reliability and likability. And those are the things that get you your next gig, assuming you have skills, then you have some talent at it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it all ultimately boils down to the skill set that you're going to be able to offer people and the talent that you've taken however many years to go ahead and fine tune and really get out there. And just with the internet in general, I mean, there's so many new and constantly developing ways to get noticed. And I think you mentioned this in another one of your modules, that now it's all about becoming just kind of a jack of all trades, where you need to take on several different roles and then just kind of going into one ultimate goal. But ultimately getting that different skill set is going to make you more valuable in the long term.
Well, I think in the whole of the music business, the wider your experience can be, the better. You know, I certainly benefited as a manager, right, by having had a ton of experience as a live concert promoter. And why? Because the concert business is such an important part of a successful artist's career. I benefited mightily, you know, by my fascination with technology. I've always loved gadgets. I've always been taking technology and using it in some kind of business application, right? And when I went to work at Sony Music for 4 years, that was an incredible experience in terms of understanding how record labels really work. And so when people talk about, well, here's what a record company has, a promotion department and this and that, that's kind of the book knowledge. That's easy. Everybody knows that. How do you get everybody to do what they're supposed to do? How do you deal with the politics? You know, how do you deal, you know, how do you translate record company speak, and how do you assess and analyze everybody's motivations in there? Those are things that you learn from doing it. And so having that record company experience was hugely important. And then taking my love of technology and music and all of that, when we were working with Artist Direct, was a great experience. And then put all of that together with Incubus, right? Who I met, you know, when I was in probably just 40 years old, I met them, right? So I was an experienced person at that point, but that record company experience was hugely important, because here comes a band that has talent, that has ambition, that has a willingness to work, who winds up finding the right people to get involved with. And so when I became their manager, all of those elements and all that previous experience that I had came together. But for a long time, I knew that my true north, my target, was I wanted to be the captain of the ship. And I learned that I didn't want to be the captain of the ship at a label. Too much politics, too much this. I wanted to be in the trenches with a band and be the guy that said, if you can write great songs, if you can perform great shows, and I trust that you can do that, if you'll trust me to turn that into money, that's what my job will be. And it worked out great for, 16-ish years.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, one of the things I really enjoyed, I guess it was a little while back, was just Incubus's, they put out an HQ Live CD, DVD set. I just thought that was really cool. It was a good combination of all the live music and recorded music that they'd been doing for, over a decade, but also bringing that to a more intimate scenario. And like you mentioned earlier, the whole thing with, Adele and just being under one spotlight and a candle, if it would still hold that same kind of powerful feeling that you'd go and see them in an arena. And I think that's a real applicable thing to have them in that scenario. And also just invite fans for a more personal experience. They're talking to the crowd here and there. I think there were some different things on YouTube where they jammed with a few other musicians running through their songs. So it's just really cool to see bands nowadays take that more inclusive view with their audience.
Yeah, well, I think right in that, it's funny you should mention the Incubus HQ. I was talking about it with somebody the other day. And for real Incubus fans, that was like one of these seminal connection events. And it kind of had everything that we talk about in that course, the make it personal part of it, clearly. The love of technology, and I'll say in retrospect, behind the scenes, I think it would be safe to say that, Incubus's old manager probably had a lot more love of getting out on the razor's edge of technology than the band guys did. But that was an example of us going, okay, let's take all the tools we've got. Let's make sure we remind our fans that we give a shit. Let's invite them in a way that no other band would do, and make it personal. And with that comes a lot of risk and a lot of discomfort for the band, which for all the managers out there, ultimately these experiences get judged by how they turned out in the end. What rarely gets seen is what was happening, up into and while it was all happening, that make the music business such a mad place to be sometimes. But when it works out in the end, like the Incubus HQ thing did, where for three or four nights, every night we thought it would be over. We thought the cops would come in and bust us, so the fire marshal would come in. And both times we had the fire marshal come in one night. We had cops come in one night. And it turned out they were Incubus fans. And they were ready to shut us down. And we go, there's no alcohol, there's no weed, there's no nothing. Can you meet the band? And they kind of did the old, okay, and walked away. And so I look at that Incubus HQ. It was a great, great event. But Incubus fans used to ask me, let's do that again. And I thought, I will never do that again. I'll never be, I couldn't go through that again. I think if you ask Brandon Boyd, he'd tell you the same thing for different reasons. Mike, different reasons. But in the end, it worked because there was great talent in the room. There was people that were serious about making a personal connection. We used all the tools of the trade, not only to bring it to the people that were in that room, but to tens of thousands of people around the world through the miracle of technology and streaming and all that could feel like they were in that room with us. And it took a lot of other people, smart, talented people on the tech side and production and all of that, to make it come together for somebody to say what you said there, which it was special, And so that makes me feel really good about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where it's nowadays having a Twitter and an Instagram and a Facebook and everything for any kind of music professional has just kind of become the norm, because people now expect to know what the guitarist is doing on his day off or post pictures when they're on the road in, Europe or wherever they may be. But it is something different to kind of go out on a limb and do something that really nobody's ever done before that may or may not work. I mean, there's obviously going to be a little bit of fear here and there. Like you mentioned that, you know, you don't know if you're going to get shut down, if people are going to show up. But I mean, ultimately, if it's one thing I think people can always learn from the music industry is that there's a whole lot of risk involved. But if you're able to take that risk for the right reasons and it pays off, a lot of times that ends up being a very rewarding experience that you can learn many things from.
Yeah, there's no question about it, you know, and I think, you know, for folks out there, you know, artists, you know, one of the great missions of the music business today is not the making of the music. It's what you do after you make the music. And because so many people can make music these days and make it available, it puts a much greater onus on people to figure out how can they stand out? How can they rise above all the noise? And, so if you're an artist out there, you need to constantly be paying attention to what I affectionately refer to as what are the new tricks out there that can help people connect. And I'm reminded of it every day now when, you know, back to our course here, you know, where we have folks that are finding out about our show, finding about, you know, our website, and now finding out about our course. And in the last week, we've had people sign up from Romania, from Spain, from France, from Canada, from the UK, from Ireland. Unbelievable, right? That we could connect with those people. I do these. We have two options for the course. One is a $99 version, which is what you have there, which is the online course. It's videos. It's transcriptions of those video lessons, 150 video lessons transcribed if you like to read along or you like to, you know, have your notes in front of you, quizzes to challenge not whether you know the terminology, but whether you're seeing between the lines. And I had so many people early on go, well, you know, these are trick questions, Ren. You know, they're, you know, one or two of these could be right. And I said, that's the moral of the story of the music business. The answers aren't always clear. And so that's why in the course, I'll give you what I think is the right answer. But more importantly, I'll tell you why and give you some context on why I think that's important, right? And so we have that course, but we also have an upgraded version of it called the mentor version, which is people have that course, but they really want to talk to somebody that's been there and done it, and that's me. And so we have these music, you know, our mentor students every Monday, we get together at 10 o'clock and I do a Google Hangout. So we get a chance to do just like we're doing here today, to talk and meet each other and see who's behind, you know, the phone call. For years, I made phone calls. You didn't know who was on the other end of the phone call. Today, you do Skype calls and you get to see and get a feel of the person and their personality and how they carry themselves. And that to me is it never ceases to amaze me. When I think back on my life and career in the music business, when standing out on the sidewalk in front of the Hyatt House here in LA was the closest you could get to any of your rock stars or your favorite managers or whatever, you know, person you might have been impressed by. And yet today, I've had some of the biggest people in the world on the show who've given their email address out, who you know, talk to people on the phone after the show is done. And I tell them all, I hope you understand how big that is, because that's not the way it happened. You had a million gatekeepers before you ever got to sit there and say, hey, Troy Carter, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. You know? So it's a great world we live in today. I wish I could turn back the clock and start at 25 right now, knowing what I know today with the perspective I have today. But that doesn't happen. Experience is a bitch. It takes time to get it. You know?
That's true. But yeah, it is great. I mean, that it seems like there's a lot more freedom of information nowadays, whether it's due to the internet or just kind of people coming more together as a global community. But, you know, you look back decades ago, and at least from what I understand and everything, it was a lot harder to get involved in music back then, because everyone was a lot more, not necessarily closed off, but it seemed like it was this real secretive kind of fluid idea that, you know, everybody at some point, I'm sure, has wanted to be some kind of a musician playing on a big stage. But now it seems a lot more readily accessible. And it's great that, like on your show, you know, you have these big name producers and artists and people that are willing to connect with the next wave of music professionals and really kind of give them some information on how they got started and just some pointers that they've learned along the way. And it just, it really seems like it's just kind of a growing music community. Everybody's trying to kind of help each other out and share some information. And especially with this course, I mean, it really comes across well.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is, you know, there are more people out there than ever, you know, that have been empowered by technology that are making music and promoting music and all that stuff. But realistically, there aren't any more big artists breaking through. That part, that stratosphere at the top is still very thin and always will be, because, you know, that great talent that finds all those pieces is rare. But, you know, you have an opportunity to get in front of people. There are acts that are being discovered on YouTube. I was listening to Shawn Mendes on the radio the other day, and here's a kid that started on YouTube and managed to attract the attention of players in the music business. And obviously he has some talent, whether you love him or hate him, but his sensibility for promoting himself is what got him in front of all those players, that now he's on a major label and he has all the resources of a major label in terms of radio and getting on TV shows and all of that stuff. And that's the liberating part of the internet. You know, when folks are trying to connect out there, Mark Geiger is one of the really true visionary guys when it comes to the web. I can remember 20, 25 years ago when the web was just starting. And Mark Geiger had a great comment that was true then. It was true then. He goes, there's more truth and more bullshit on the web than any place in the world. And so you have to work harder to sort it out. And even in terms of, you know, trying to learn more about the music business, whenever we sell a course or whenever I go, you know, see a YouTube subscriber, and I'm very active in staying in touch with that, you know, I ask these people, how did you find out about our course? What made you decide to buy? And so many of them will tell you, God, we were looking through, I was looking for music business information, and there's so many clowns out there and there's so much stupid stuff and everybody's an expert and going to tell you how to do this. And he said, then I stumbled across your thing, and it was like, wow, here's somebody that's really in the music business. And if I didn't believe it, then I started watching your web show and started thinking, my God, this guy's got a ton of all these people around here. And so that's truth. Those are the doers. You know, it sounds like a shameless plug for everything, but those are the doers. And those are the people that you're looking to do something big in the music business. You got to find a way to hang out with the doers. You got to find a way to get a mentor somehow that can, you know, fast track your learning, that can sit there and go, kid, I know that's the way it looks. Let me tell you how it's really going to work out. And at first you fight him, then you see it happen. And then you go, okay, I'm going to stop fighting these guys. If that guy tells me that's where I'm going, that's where you go. It's called local knowledge in golf. And so, there's a lot more opportunity out there, a lot more stuff to sift through musically too for consumers. You know, mm-hmm. People are interested in it. It's like, I never met an act yet that didn't think their music was great. Some guy, I won't mention his name, sent me, you know, I've been sending me emails back and forth about how great he is, and he's got this stalker kind of mentality. So finally he gets my real email address and sends me this stuff and says, you'll be my manager, we'll make millions of dollars, and I'm the greatest act in the world. So I thought, okay, I'm going to press one of these links on this YouTube video. And it was the most horrible fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. But he really believes it's special. So I didn't send him a note to say I think it's crap. I just thought the business will teach him that, mm-hmm. right? The ambition and, you know, and enthusiasm without talent won't work.
Right.
You got to have undeniable talent. You'll know it because you'll play gigs and people will come back and bring a friend. Your music, if you do all those things and you talk about be the jack of all trades in those early days, it's because you have to. When Incubus found the right manager and the right record label, their job was, hey, you guys just get the music right, okay? And I'm going to make sure all these other clowns line up the way they're supposed to. But let's just make sure our shit's tight, you know, and then we'll go out there and do it. So it's an interesting world we live in now. Exciting, scary, but the music business has always been exciting and scary.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I think that's something that that evolves with the music business is just the gatekeepers. I mean, you mentioned that in another one of the videos, is that the gatekeepers today are very different than the ones that were present yesterday. I mean, now you have people that are gaining notoriety and their different talents from things like YouTube, whereas before it was maybe a really long process to get yourself out there, to get 100 people to view your video or to view a song, or let alone a million or however many millions of people. Nowadays, even though we've kind of past that one particular barrier, now we've got, you know, these other gatekeepers that come in. Now there's just kind of an overwhelming amount of music out there. So now we've got to sift through this and figure out what makes your material different than somebody else's.
Yeah, and the gatekeepers are always out there in every business. Mm-hmm. What I've learned over the years is that more often than not, in my experience, you know, with young folks in the business, the biggest gatekeeper is standing there looking at you in the mirror. It's the people that go, well, this is tough, and this is a problem, Steve, and this guy won't call me back, or that gal won't do this. And I'm very harsh when I get that from folks. I go, what's your point? You quitting? You want me to cry with you? You want me to pat you on the back? You know, what do you want me to do? Give me a back rub? Because of course it's freaking tough. If it wasn't tough, every clown could do it. You know, what's your point? You know, let's figure out how to make something happen. And so that whole idea, fuck the gatekeepers, that's where it comes from, which is, okay, let's whinge and cry a little bit now that we've got that out of our system. Are we quitting? And if we're not quitting, then we got to figure this out. So let's stop wasting our time like a bunch of little 14-year-old kids crying. And you just get after it, you know, and you get on with it.
Right, and it's the creative solutions that you come up with in trying to get around that really set you apart from other people. I mean, especially now with like things like Kickstarter, you know, you don't have enough money to put out an album or to fund the initial start of a tour. Now there's somebody came up with this creative way to more or less just ask for money, but for a creative purpose.
Yeah.
And that's something that didn't exist up until too long ago.
Yeah, no, there's so many. Here's what's interesting. You mentioned that I've had a lot of the old pros on the show, and I certainly have. But more and more lately, I've been trying to get people that are in the music business that are just starting, but that get it. And I knew that because, A, it inspires me to sit with young people that are trying to do something big. And what I find is that they have the same enthusiasm and passion that I did. They don't have a lot of the experience that I have, but a lot of the experiences I've had aren't working today, right? And so you could make the case that a grizzly old veteran like myself has a lot of baggage of the way things used to be. But I've learned not to spend a lot of time crying about it. But when I talk to young people like Ethan Baer, who runs EDM.com, or Nikki Berger, who manages Group Love, or any number of the young people, Audrey Ben-Waleed, who was a music attorney from, you know, the Canada, who came and was an intern, he's now working for a big company. You know, those people come at it with a different thing because they're not as encumbered by the baggage that I had, because they're looking at a much different business, where guys my age tend to want to reminisce a little bit, you know? And so those people will come up with different ways of approaching things, the same way Elon Musk came up with a great car, an electric car, that no big time car manufacturer could have made, because their whole business was geared to doing it a certain way. And so it took somebody totally from the outside to look at it differently. The same was true with Apple Music. You know, the labels could have concocted iTunes themselves, but they couldn't see it because they were too encumbered by the baggage. So, you know, having a fresh perspective is important. I think that's starting to happen in the music business. Spotify, God, I'll digress here. If I get so sick of listening to artists tell me, well, I'm not putting my music on Spotify because they're fucking everybody. And then I sit there and go, hey, let me tell you what you should be worried about. Nobody hearing your music. That's what you should be worried about. But you're worried about whether you're going to get paid by Spotify. How about this? Unless your music gets heard somewhere, you're not going to get paid by anybody. So get your music out there. But more importantly, pay attention to the world here. Everybody I know is streaming music now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what value is there in being the flag holder and waving the banner of, hey, man, you know, the album, we want it to be, you may want them to buy your album, but they're going to pick your best tracks and buy those, and that genie's out of the bottle. So get over it. Here's my solution. Stop bitching about your albums and make sure every single song that you write is great. Mm-hmm. No more throwaways in today's world, right? And so it's a different world that we're playing in. So you have to look at it with a fresh perspective.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the whole Spotify thing. That's something I'm pretty passionate about, just following in, you know, all the debate about the royalties here and there. And there always seems to be some kind of blame on either the streaming service side or the label side and how the artists actually get the money for streams. The labels, on one hand, are claiming that the streaming services don't pay out enough per stream, while the streaming service claims that the labels aren't giving enough of the royalties back to the artist. And I think it's interesting just to hear from your side, you know, what kind of benefits that can have in getting your music heard and kind of keeping your eye on the bigger picture.
You got to look at it from the big picture, right? You're an artist, you wrote a song, you came out of your bedroom and you wanted somebody to hear it. Okay? So the question, the logical question is, where are they going to hear it? Now, if you play to people in a club, 200 people can hear it, right? Mm-hmm. If that song gets played on the biggest radio station in your market, where do you live here?
In Atlanta.
Okay, so you're in Atlanta. So if they play it on the biggest station in Atlanta, how many people are going to hear it? A lot more people, right? Mm-hmm. If you could have your song heard around the world on demand, pretty much, how many people have the potential to hear it? Millions of people have the potential to hear it, right? Mm-hmm. So this debate on where the money's going, if somebody had bought my course and took the record label section, they'd understand that a recording contract was never designed to pay artists royalties. It was designed to get the record company's money back,
right?
Okay. That's the reality of it. That's the truth of it. So crying about it doesn't make any sense. When an artist says, I'm not getting paid, they have a record deal with label X, Y, or Z that they sign, most of them with full counsel from, you know, qualified attorneys, and a lot of it is standard industry practice, but it is what it is. Spotify, and I'm not taking sides on Spotify or not, I'm just big picture. They, by all accounts, pay out 70% of the money that comes in to the rights holders, which for the recordings is the label. So you have the same deal with those labels that you did when in the old days. And the truth is, unless you were a big-time multi-platinum artist, you didn't make any money from a record deal. So nothing's changed there. Now, if you get millions and millions and millions of streams, it's going to generate more money. And if you are very successful and have a great team of people around you, lawyers, managers, and so forth, you will find a way to get paid. But if you're getting played billions of times, you're going to sell tickets and you're going to sell merchandise and you get offered a Target commercial and you're going to be able to sell perfume and whatever else it is. So pop stars today and stars today are making their money in different ways. But here's what hasn't changed. Unless you're really big and successful, Reed, you're getting lots of plays somewhere, you're not going to make any money. So all these folks out there, and I'll piss them all off by saying, that are trying to figure out how to make a living in the music business without ever reaching lots of people, I'm going to spare you the time and grief. It is not going to happen. Period. That's not the way I want it. That's the way it is. And that's the way it always has been, okay? The good news is that because of technology and the like, people have a better chance of discovering you to give you one of those precious slots at the top of the music business that pays. The same is true in basketball. The same is true in golf and sports and other businesses. The people at the very top make the money. There is no middle class in the music business. You're either somewhere or you're nowhere. That's it. You either win the lottery or you don't win the lottery. Period. So all this emotional talk about Spotify or this one, I go, man, you're missing the point. The biggest fear you have is that nobody hears you. If you get heard, hire me, I'll get you paid.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, no, we're nearing our hour here, so I won't keep you too much more longer. Just have a couple other questions, I guess, tie in for the last one up. just like the whole streaming thing, I mean, what's one of the biggest misconceptions that you find people have about the music industry?
Oh, God. I think the biggest misconception I hear is when people say, I have talent, and that they feel like talent and enthusiasm is enough. It's not. And I've learned that the hard way, not the way I want it, but the way it is. A kid plays a song and his parents tell him it's great. His best friend tells him it's great. He plays a club and nobody shows up. He plays again and nobody shows up. He sends his music around to all kinds of A&R people and nobody's biting on it, right? You get feedback all the time. And so that I think is the biggest shocker for artists is that, but I'm working hard at it, Steve. I'm doing all the right things and I did everything you said. And I hear this all the time now in my new role here as mentor. And I don't spend a lot of time giving my musical editorial opinion about it because I make it clear I'm not interested in being a manager. I'm not interested in working at a record company. And I try to give comfort and I try to tell them keep doing the right things, but I've told everybody. The truth of the matter is that your dream to make it big in the music business might not happen. And that's a fact. And it's a one out of a million thing on the best of days. And I feel very lucky that I've managed to make a great living doing it. But, I don't know that I would recommend it for everybody, you know. And I know that when something doesn't work out, it doesn't have to be the end of things. I wanted to be a golf pro desperately. And I still play golf every day. I love it. But my dream to be a golf pro didn't work out. And what I realized and dealt with was that my ambition to play and my enthusiasm for golf and my willingness to work at it wasn't matched by my talent. But the moral of the story is this. While I was hugely disappointed, I took the lessons that I learned from working at something that I was passionate about and applied those things somewhere else and wound up being in the music business. So this kid who was the big-time golfer, loved to play golf, my other great passion was rock and roll music. And that's where I made my living. And so for all the folks out there that are watching, I say, if you can dream it, go ahead and try to make it happen. Do it, okay? But do it because you love it. Do it because the music business is screaming at you. Do it because that itch needs to be scratched while you're young and you're unencumbered, no wives, no kids, no mortgages, right? But if it doesn't work out, I hope like me, you don't lose your love of music like I never lost my love of golf. I just do it now for a hobby. And I found another way to make a buck. And for me, I was lucky enough to do it in the music business. And I love it so much that I'm still here for all those folks out there that need somebody, just an honest voice to say, hey, here's where it's at, my friend. You're not going to love everything I say, but you can bet that it's true.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, you've definitely got the experience for it. Well, yeah, I guess that's a great in cap just to kind of sum everything up. Again, Steve Rennie, got RenManU.com out now. Great course, just overall information, several modules on everything from, like we said initially, just the big picture up to building a professional team, how to treat your career as a business, record labels, publishing, touring, how to make it, basically just how to make your dreams come true. But anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I would be a horrible shameless promoter if I didn't mention the website is http://www.renmanu.com. There's a free demo there you can check out if you want to test your music business knowledge. I invite you to take our music business IQ, which will give you a little hint of how the course works. Christmas is coming up. Be a fine gift for your local friendly musician. And for all you parents out there that are contemplating sending your kid off to college to get that piece of paper that you thought was so valuable, save the money, spend $100 or spend $500 if you want to sit him down with a pro. And I'll give you everything you're going to learn in one of those colleges. And God bless them all. My kid goes to the USC Thornton School of Music. But I'm here to tell you, you don't need to spend 50 or 60 grand to learn the music business. You can do that for a lot less that college experience and all the things you get with that, that I can't give you. That you'll have to find on your own.
Well, thank you again for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Great talking to you.
You got it.
All right. I hope to talk to you again sometime in the future. Well, that wraps up today's episode of the Music Biz Podcast presented by Hypebot.com. Thanks again to Steve Rennie for coming on to the show and speaking with us today. And please don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes or SoundCloud and give us a rating on your favorite podcast app. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.